It's 5:32, and you're listening to the Friday, January 20th edition of the KALX Evening News. Here's the latest.
An Oakland couple has discovered the true meaning of pay TV.
Two police officers were shot, one fatally, in San Jose today.
Today marks the first day of the Bush administration.
I, George Herbert Walker Bush, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And Cal Hoopsters faithfully executed the Stanford Cardinal last night in Harmon Arena. Good evening, I'm Peter Dudley.
And I'm Phil Regan. We'll have these stories and more up next. Authorities in San Jose report that a police officer and a suspect were killed this morning in a shooting at a downtown donut shop. Another officer is reported to be wounded. A police spokesman says the shooting occurred during an arrest when the suspect grabbed the gun belonging to one of the officers. He says one officer died in the shop and the other is in serious condition at a San Jose hospital. Hospital officials say the suspect died during treatment. The identities of those shot were not immediately available, and little more was known about how the shooting took place. Hospital officials are making a plea for type O negative blood for the wounded officer.
The University of California is looking to increase the number of minority and women-owned contractors it hires. A report from the UC president's office says businesses owned by minorities and women were awarded 18% more in purchasing, design, and construction contracts than 2 years ago. The contracts totaled $212 million last year. Lori Ito, spokesperson for UC, said that even though UC wants to hire more women and minority-owned contractors in the future, there are no quotas and the university is not engaged in reverse discrimination.
They'll have to compete in terms of price and service. So they have to be able to offer UC a good rate.
She added that the university really had no way of knowing if it had hired more or fewer than the percentage of contractors available. The report, however, does say that the university is looking to contract more of the small businesses.
Oakland had five fewer homicides in 1988 than it did in 1987. Hidden in that statistic is a fact cited by Oakland Police Homicide Lieutenant Mike Sims. Problem there. As Oakland has focused more police resources on drug problems, more drug dealers are being jailed, taking at least that much potential for violence off the streets. Here's what Lieutenant Sims had to say.
The only area in murder classification or motive that seemed to go down was the drug-related cases, and that was down from 66 cases in 87 to 57 in 88.
Oakland Police Homicide Lieutenant Mike Sims. Well, cable TV operators are cracking down on signal thieves. KALX's Eric Doof has the story.
The Alameda County Superior Court has fined an Oakland couple over $11,000 for stealing cable television signals. Alfred and Gloria White have been ordered to pay approximately 10 times what they would have paid had they received the cable signals legitimately. Jim Fleming is with Cable Oakland, the company which won the award from the Whites. He says the Whites aren't the only people who've tried to beat the system. Oh, another technical difficulty. Fleming says his company and the city of Oakland are cooperating in an effort to crack down on cable thieves. Some people are given citations, says Fleming, but those who don't learn their lesson and who persist in stealing signals will be subject to lawsuits. Cable Oakland thinks they know who continues to steal signals despite being caught before, and those people are being watched. The message, pay for your pay TV if you want it now, or you may be paying a lot more later. Eric Doof, KALX News.
The UC system is enjoying what appears to be an ever-increasing generosity, or so says a report published by the president's office. The report says donations from individuals and corporations has increased 45% since the 1983-84 period. UC spokesman Paul West said it's not just generosity that's causing the increase.
I think it's both ways. One, the university has been working hard at it, and two, they have a good product to sell, and it's not as difficult as some other things to get people to support it.
He added, however, that even though he feels the trend will continue, the donations don't have much bearing on budgetary decisions.
None of this money will come in, is designed or is seen as replacement for the budget, for the state budget or for university fees, that kind of thing. It's all in addition.
The report also said that donors can earmark funds for special areas such as research or instructional activities. West said he supposed someone could choose their donation to go to student fees, but even so, students still have to face the governor's proposed fee increase for next year.
The new BART Board of Directors is considering an outside audit as a means of restoring public confidence. The board contains four new members, and an audit would serve as a means of letting the public know that the scandals and other problems which rocked the BART Board in 1988 are a thing of the past. BART spokesman Cy Mober thinks the new board is in the process of asserting itself. Friend, Mr. Technical Difficulty again. 1988 was a bad year for BART. In addition to computer glitches and a skin-of-the-teeth avoidance of a strike, BART was shaken by a bribery and kickback scandal involving three middle management employees. Mober reiterated the new board's desire to start fresh, adding, though, that the full BART board has yet to vote on the subject of the outside audit.
BART is also in the news because of its housekeeping. Director Nello Bianco recently toured a couple of BART stations and wasn't pleased by what he termed filthy conditions. Bianco took his complaint to the top, and now General Manager Keith Bernard has pledged to deploy more cleanup equipment at stations. Ironically, BART's management thought former maintenance manager Arnold Flores was working on the problem of dirty stations. Last week, Flores was sentenced to 5 years in prison for his part in the kickback scandal we mentioned in our earlier BART story.
About 40 people demonstrated yesterday in front of an East Oakland MaxiCare clinic that is scheduled to cease operations. The protesters claim that the closing may affect the quality of care of 9,000 Bay Area medical recipients. Pregnant women may be the most adversely affected, since the four remaining clinics will have to handle the over 200 patient overflow. The MaxiCare Health Maintenance Organization says that it simply cannot afford to keep the clinic running.
In a technical talk today, a UC professor told the American Association for the Advancement of Science how they can slow global warming and save money at the same time. Professor Arthur Rosenfeld of the Berkeley Physics Department gave a detailed list of plans and recommendations that he says will slow the warming of the planet enough to give scientists time to develop safer, new energy sources. His plans range from gasoline taxes to planting trees. He said one of the causes of global warming is the greenhouse effect, which is partially caused by smog. Rosenfeld studied 10 cities and the smog patterns associated, and he determined that the amount of smog on a given day can be largely changed by temperature.
What you see is that there is no smog problem below about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and the most serious smog episodes are at the hottest days, which are about 100. So basically you go from no smog to terrible smog in 30 degrees Fahrenheit, but all these cities are already 10 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit hotter already. And we're doing nothing about it. So if we want to reduce smog, we have to go back and cool these cities. Now remember, we got to cool the cities anyway because they're going to get hotter from global warming, so at least we got to do the greenhouse effect.
And how can the cities go about being cooled?
Well, that's pretty obvious. We want to plant trees. We want to use light-colored roofs.
In addition to this, Rosenfeld said spreading light-colored sand over dark pavements would make them cooler. Rosenfeld vigorously defended all his recommendations, and he said he hopes they get put to use.
Well, young adults who suffered as children through their parents' divorce may soon develop severe problems with intimate relationships and even suffer early divorces themselves. In a new book entitled Second Chance, Men, Women, and Children a Decade After Divorce, Berkeley lecturer Judith Wallerstein reports that children of divorced parents often unwittingly repeat the problems they witnessed at home. Half the children who experienced domestic violence became involved in abusive relationships 10 years after the end of their parents' marriage. Wallerstein found during her 20-year study. Wallerstein concluded that parents and therapists can help smooth the scars left on today's children.
Apple Computer Chairman John Sculley showed off what's billed as Hyper TV today to thousands of computer fans at the Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. Sculley worked a Macintosh keyboard under a huge television screen on the auditorium stage. Graphics, text, and video images flashed on the screen as his fingers danced over the keys. The demonstration at the Macworld Expo resembled a light show for computer buffs and business executives. The demonstration recounted the history of the computer company and suggested what's ahead.
A federal appeals court says workers who are injured on a job for a federal contractor can sue the federal government for failing to take safety measures required by the contract. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated suits against the government by two Sonoma County construction workers. The workers suffered serious back injuries in 1984 when they fell through unguarded floor openings while working at a new post office in Petaluma.
30 youngsters from St. Bede School in La Canada, Flintridge, are sitting in special VIP bleachers awaiting the arrival of former President Reagan and his wife, Nancy. The couple is expected to arrive at 3:30 p.m. at Los Angeles International Airport. The festivities began at 1 p.m. The St. Bede's youngsters are wearing green T-shirts reading, "Just Say No." Several hundred GOP faithful are waving small American flags and placards while a mariachi band plays on stage.
Coming up, more on the Bush administration starting tomorrow.
Hi, this is Mikey Kakis. You're listening to the news on station KALX.
George Herbert Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
I, George Herbert Walker Bush, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Tomorrow, President George Bush says, the work begins. Bush is spending his first day as president taking in all the festivities that accompany the change of an administration. To the delight of the crowd along the inaugural parade route, Bush stepped out of his armored limousine several times to walk a few blocks.
Bush, in his inaugural speech, paid tribute to Ronald Reagan, who he'd served as vice president, saying the era of Reagan's presidency left the nation prosperous and at peace. Bush said that today a new breeze is blowing, but some of the president's harshest words came on the issue of drugs.
There are few clear areas in which we as a society must rise up united and express our intolerance. The most obvious now is drugs, and when that first cocaine was smuggled in on a ship, it may as well have been a deadly bacteria so much as it hurt the body, the soul of our country. And there is much to be done and to be said. But take my word for it, this scourge will stop.
Bush is promising that his administration will mark what he calls the age of the offered hand in remarks aimed at Democratic congressional leaders. And he again sounded his campaign theme, calling for work at home toward a kinder, gentler nation.
America is never wholly herself unless she is engaged in high moral principle. We as a people have such a purpose today. It is to make kinder the face of the nation and gentler the face of the world.
It was an upbeat and optimistic speech, thin on details and thick on vision. The president has made it known he wants to reach out to the less fortunate.
For democracy belongs to us all, and freedom is like a beautiful kite that can go higher and higher with the breeze. And to all I say, no matter what your circumstances or where you are part of this day. You are part of the life of our great nation.
Immediately after the ceremonial change of power, the new president saw off the old one as Reagan boarded a Marine helicopter for a ride to Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. At the air base, now citizen Reagan boarded the presidential jet for a ride to retirement in California.
Well, Peter, it was a banner day for Mr. Bush, obviously, and even Democratic leaders in Congress are giving the speech glowing reviews. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell says Bush is extending the hand of friendship, and they, the Democrats, intend to extend theirs in return. Senator Bob Dole, who fought Bush for the presidency, calls the speech a good start, but he says now comes the hard part, doing all the things the president wants to do.
And in the judicial branch, the Florida Supreme Court has refused to postpone the execution of suspected serial killer Ted Bundy for the murder of a 12-year-old Lake City girl. The court rejected his lawyer's plea to let lower courts decide if he was sane during the trial. Bundy is scheduled to die in the electric chair Tuesday, but his lawyer plans an appeal to the federal court.
Officials say the right engine on a Boeing 737 fell off shortly after takeoff today at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. The Piedmont flight returned to O'Hare and made an emergency landing. Carl Dinwiddie of the National Transportation Safety Board praises the pilot's actions.
Piloting skills and a lot of things have to be done right to safely return to the airport, and that's what the pilot did.
Fortunately, no one was reported hurt.
In Miami, authorities say the city is quiet after nights of rioting in largely black neighborhoods. There was occasional gunfire last night, however, and police say they made 12 riot-related arrests, but they say they're back to regular patrols now. Fireworks and frivolity are on the schedule now as the city prepares to inaugurate a new champion of the National Football League. The Cincinnati Bengals play the 49ers in Sunday's Super Bowl in Miami.
The Archbishop of Canterbury today marked the second anniversary of the abduction of his special envoy, Terry Waite. Waite was kidnapped in 1987 in Lebanon. He was negotiating the release of foreign hostages. The Archbishop was hopeful in a sermon broadcast on British radio from All Souls Church in London.
Observe a second anniversary is a disappointment, but we remain ever hopeful of his return. Terry brought hope to others in captivity. Let us trust that he, with all others held hostage, may be sustained by the prayers constantly offered, not only at Lambeth Palace, but in countless churches and homes.
Also in London, Waite's cousin John called on all governments to put hostage release on the top of their agendas.
It is a very tricky situation, very difficult to resolve, and I just fear that governments may not be grasping the nettle because they just don't see a solution. I'm hoping they'll work harder at trying to secure one.
Meanwhile, Waite's own local church in southeast London held an all-day vigil to pray for the release of hostages everywhere.
President Bush's choice for budget director is the latest to go through Senate confirmation hearings. Richard Darman, in response to probing questions from Democratic senators, says that productivity is a key to the nation's economic health.
To achieve a long-term real growth rate in excess of 3%, we're going to have to get our productivity up. I believe that's an unequivocally desirable objective, and we should pursue it.
Darman says that with the huge deficit, the decline in savings is cause for concern.
There is, I understand, a sort of general secular decline in savings among developed nations. Exactly why this should be so, I'm not sure. I have some sort of pop sociological hypotheses. I consider them close to worthless. In any case, it's a matter that I think we do have to take extremely seriously.
The senators pestered Darman with questions about President Bush's promise not to raise taxes, and Darman responded stating that he did not foresee circumstances in which Bush would break that promise.
Mike Pechner is here with weather. Mike, where's that rain you promised?
Well, I didn't really promise it. I don't think I did. It's a weak system, and it might produce some rain up in the Redwood Empire, North Bay counties, but I don't think it'll do much down here right now. A better possibility of rain sometime middle or first of next week. And the situation on that right now, kind of dicey. But at least the weekend will be mostly fair. Dense morning patches of fog, especially east of the Oak and Berkeley Hills. Variable high clouds and hazy sunshine in the afternoons. A little bit cooler on Sunday, but it doesn't make much difference because everybody will probably be inside watching the Super Bowl anyway. Lows tonight, low 40s on campus. Highs tomorrow, low 60s on campus. Maybe upper 50s to near 60 on Sunday. and light winds. That's evening weather. I'm meteorologist Mike Pechner for KALX.
Okay, Mike, a little bit more fog in the valley for us if we're driving down that way?
Yeah, if you're going up to the Sierra Nevada, if you're going early morning hours along 205 or Interstate 80 east of Vacaville or Fairfield, you expect lots of fog in the Central Valley.
Have a good weekend, Mike. Right,
well, if my voice sounds a little bit scratchy today, that's because I was one of the 6,500 Cal students, Bear fans, that was at the Harmon Arena last night to see Cal upset Stanford. Of course, now I'm hoping that the women Hoopers do the same. Up next, we'll have Dave Miller with sports.
Scoop Nisker, guest co-anchor, saying if you don't like the news on CalX, you have no other choice but to go out and make some of your own.
Time for the Friday Night Sports Line. Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Miller. Well, Harmon, Jim is still shaking from all the excitement last night. Over 6,500 screaming fans saw the Golden Bears upset the 20th-ranked Stanford Cardinal rather easily last night by a final score of 75-64. The win gives Cal a 13-5 overall record and a 4-3 mark in the Pacific 10. The loss for Stanford puts them at 12-4 and a 5-2 conference mark. Cal was unbelievable from the line last night. If you were there, you saw it. 30 of 38 for the game, including 16 in a row down the stretch. Conversely, Stanford shot only 11 free throws all night, making 7 of them. Cal was led by their senior. Leonard Taylor had 21 points. Stanford's all-everything. Todd Lichty was held to 18, and he shot just one free throw. So the defense of Cal gets a smiley face for their effort last night. Well, the Cal women's basketball team hopes to be as fortunate as the men were last night, as they will be at Maples Pavilion tonight to take on the Pac-10 leaders, the Stanford Cardinal. The Cardinal is 12-2 this year and undefeated at home. Cal's record entering play is 7-7, 2-2 in the Pac-10. And tonight's announcers are Paul Calvisio and Nico Pimentel. And Nico is standing by right now at Maples Pavilion to give us a little preview of tonight's game. Nico, are you there?
I certainly am. I think two Cal-Stanford games in a row is about more than I can handle. Cal may have beaten Stanford yesterday. Tonight might be due unto us like we did unto you for Stanford, because they're ranked 7th in the country, their women are, and the game will start at about 7:30, 7:25 airtime here on KALX in Berkeley. The players to watch for the Cardinal, Jennifer Azey, the point guard, her 6.0 assists per game last year led the conference, and she shoots nearly 50% from three-point land. Jill Yonke, their 6'5 center, will also give the Bears trouble. Should be a tough match for the Golden Bears as they try to move over the 500 mark in conference play against undefeated Stanford at 4-0. A little series history. Stanford 10-12 lifetime against Cal, since Stanford went varsity in 74-75. And last season, Stanford swept Cal for the first time in one season, winning 95-71 in Berkeley, 94-79 back in Maples Pavilion. That's where we will be tonight at 7:25, the airtime with the pregame show right here on KALX. I'm Nico Pimentel from Maples.
Thanks a lot, Nico, and I think it's safe to assume that it won't be as loud down there as it was at Harmon last night. Cal, as Nico has pointed out, will have to handle Stanford's big defensive team. They're very strong, and Coach Gooch Foster, Cal's coach, sizes up the Cardinal.
They mug you on defense, and it's pretty much a power game on their offense. So if anything, it's just, you know, athletically, they're not, you know, that's not their strength. And
we've got some news out of San Jose State. Of course, you know their big fiasco down there. The basketball team lost last night to the Cal State Fullerton team, but what do you expect? Their team roster included star fullback Johnny Johnson, who had to remember to dribble the ball, I would think. A former member of the Santa Clara basketball team, Craig McPherson. In addition, there were three other football players, a red shirt, the team's equipment manager, and two students who played intramural basketball. And, of course, the Spartans were left without a team earlier this week as 10 players quit the team in protest of head coach Bill Berry. The final score last night, 82-60, Cal State Fullerton won it. A good idea for maybe the next game, play those 10 players that quit. Some college basketball from last night. Number 2, Illinois beat Northwestern 75-70. Illinois now 16-0. Arizona, the ninth-ranked team in the nation, beat USC 97-69. Ohio State downed Iowa 102-91. Tonight's game, San Diego is at USF. St. Mary's at Santa Clara. And the women's game, you know about Cal Stanford. Santa Clara will visit St. Mary's. All four of those games begin at 7:30. In the NBA, the Warriors put their six-game winning streak on the line tonight. The Warriors, 18-6, host the Houston Rockets at the Coliseum Arena, 7:30 tip-off. Fans will get to see old Warriors Sleepy Floyd, J.B. Carroll, and Purvis Short. Houston leads the Midwest Division with a record of 22-15. Checking the schedule in the NBA tonight and a couple partial scores, Philadelphia trails Boston at the half, 57-51. And in the first period, Detroit over Indiana, 22-15. Milwaukee at Utah, Dallas at the Lakers later on tonight. And don't forget, we've got some little football to talk about. As both teams, the 49ers and the Bengals, worked out as usual today, All-Pro wide receiver Jerry Rice of San Francisco tested the ankle he twisted Monday and said it's sore. And 49er head coach Bill Walsh said Rice looks okay, and of course he will be in there. Rice and linebacker Sam Kennedy are listed as probable. San Francisco today put cornerback Torrey Nixon on the injured reserve, and the Bengals announced that David Fulcher will be in action as he had a sprained knee earlier this week. And finally, the ashes of a longtime San Francisco 49ers fan will be taken to the Super Bowl by his sons. Les Boatwright of San Jose died with two Super Bowl tickets in his pocket on Monday. He had missed only two Super Bowls since the first game was played in 1967. His son Mark says everybody thought it was the greatest idea they'd ever had. So he will be there, and hopefully the 49ers will put up a win on the board for old Les. That's sports. I'm Dave Miller. Remember, Cal basketball is at 7:30, women's versus Stanford.
Dave Miller, thank you. Peter?
The world is quiet today, Mr. President. That's what Colin Powell, Ronald Reagan's national security advisor, told him as Reagan listened to a briefing as one of his last acts as president. Friends and old foes alike offered praise to the departing leader. British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, a longtime ally, called Reagan a true and perfect gentleman. The official voice of the Soviet Union, the Communist Party newspaper, Pravda, said he was leaving office as a completely successful political figure. And on this final day of the Reagan administration, KALX takes a look back at the great communicator.
The planes bearing our prisoners left Iranian airspace and are now free of Iran.
I didn't know I was shot. In fact, I was still asking, what was that noise? I thought it was firecrackers.
Every time he leaves the house, I think my heart stops.
It's time the president told us why this sacrifice is justified.
Well, the answer is straightforward: to help bring peace to Lebanon and stability to the vital Middle East.
United States paratroopers have invaded Grenada with helicopter gunships.
Frequent use of the word invasion. This was a rescue mission.
He said that he noticed that every news story about the Grenada rescue mission contained a line, every story, that Grenada produces more nutmeg than any other place in the world. And he decided that was a code, and he was going to break the code. And he did. He wrote back and said, number one, Grenada produces more nutmeg than any place in the world. Number two, the Soviets and the Cubans are trying to take Grenada. Number three, you can't make good eggnog without nutmeg. And number four, you can't have Christmas without eggnog. Number five, the Soviets and the Cubans are trying to steal Christmas.
You already are the oldest president in history. I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Tripoli is under attack.
Today, we have done what we had to do. Gaddafi counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Challenger, go and throttle up.
In one cruel moment, our exhilaration turned to horror. Sometimes when we reach for the stars, we fall short. But we must pick ourselves up again and press on. We
bid you goodbye. We will never forget you.
We did not, repeat, did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages.
I was not fully informed. Mistakes were made.
I promised when we took office that we would reduce inflation. We have. I promised that we would reduce taxes. We did.
The language of arms control was replaced by arms reduction.
Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
We have made history.
Do I look like an idiot?
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Well, that's it for this edition of the KALX Evening News. Join us every weekday at 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for the latest in news, weather, and sports.
Thanks go tonight to producer Anthony Denzer, engineer Scott Brody, news writer Gene Mochi, and all of the KALX staff.
For KALX News, I'm Peter Dudley.
And I'm Phil Regan. Good night and have a good weekend. And now back to Chip, if he's still awake, with more music.
I'm alive and shaken down here, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
I'm just terrific. How about you?
Not bad. Isn't there a little tear in your eye at this moment?
I'm all choked up, Chip, and I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
The transition team's in, out with the old fart and in with the new, so to speak, right?
So to speak.
Yeah, Ronnie's gone. Any last words?
Ronnie is not gone. Ronnie's outside in his limo. He's doing sports.
Cool. Ronnie on Calix tonight, huh?
Ronnie on Calix. And we're not paying him $200,000 a year either. Slightly less.
Something to look forward to, Ron. We'll see you later, Phil. Have a good weekend, all right?
Go get him, Chip. Go get him.
All right. It's time to rock and roll on the Calix. It's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock here on your Friday night. KALX Berkeley is the place. Yeah, they're putting him to sleep. Ronald Reagan. Putting me to sleep. Let me kick...